This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 375. We're up to Godzilla versus Kong from 2021. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Godzilla versus Kong?
Since the theater. 2021, when this came out, this was like COVID time. I was still going to the theaters. I was not watching any of these movies at home. So I went to the theater to see Godzilla versus Kong. Had a good time at the time. And that was it. So three years since I've seen it.
Yeah, I saw this movie in the theater because, again, my wife likes the Godzilla stuff. So I remember enjoying it in the theater for what it was. That's the last time I seen it. I don't watch these type of movies much. Rewatching it, I'm like, oh, now I know why I didn't put this damn movie on. It's been a while. So yeah, I saw it in the theater. I remember watching, the crowd loved it. I remember that the crowd ate up because it's the first time these dudes are on screen together for the first time ever. Oh, not ever, because they did it in the 80s or 70s, or whatever. But from Japan. In modern times, this is the first time you gotta make it into a big epic event for everybody. So anyway, yeah, I enjoyed it for what it was. Now let's get to the financials here, because it's very weird.
It did right? Well, you got the two for a movie that came out in COVID.
It did. It did very well, but it's kind of weird though in terms of the, like, you think it was going to be a bigger hit because you have the most iconic monster characters on screen for the first time in modern time. So $135 million budget, which is a pretty hefty amount of money.
Yeah, but it's kind of low for these movies. Think about it. Because the next one, spoiler alert, it has a similar budget. Mm. And we just talked about, at the time of recording, we just saw this Captain America Brave New World. And that thing has a $400 million budget. And it has a lot of real people in it. And these things are like 80% CGI. So it's not a cheap movie, but it's cheap compared to all the Marvel movies cost 2 and 3 times as much as this. And this has like a big cast, this first movie. Like a lot of people are in it. So
no, I agree.
Yeah, how'd it do?
Well, so $135 million budget, and it made worldwide $470 million.
That's good. That's good, because you got to remember too, some states still had theaters that were closed, and a bunch of people watched this on HBO Max and didn't go to the theater to see it. I think when we get to the next one, I don't know the box office, but I wouldn't be surprised if it made a little more because theaters are open. Like, it's more normal now. I do see your point of like, it could have been a bigger hit, but I think compared to the others, I think Skull Island's the only one that made more than this. So it was about on par, and considering a lot of places were still closed, that's pretty good. And it was profitable because 135 times two, that's 270. So everything over that, it was making money. So it made a good couple hundred million for the studio.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just shocked. I thought it would be like six. I was thinking six, around the 655 range, 555 up to 600 million plus. That's what I thought this was going to be. I didn't know it was going to be below 500 million. I mean, once you add in,
streaming might have affected it too.
It must have, right? But then once you add in, you know, the physical media and stuff, it must have made tons of money. I mean, for those collectors out there that wanted to collect these things right here.
They were happy with it. It was definitely profitable.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, let's get to the critics and audience scores. What did they give?
Okay, well, these are interesting. So as far as the critics, this is way back up. If you remember, King of the Monsters was way down. It was way down. It was like in the 40s or something like that. This one has a 34% increase, and it is at a 76 with the critics. So this one is more in line with the first Godzilla and with Kong Skull Island, which were both in the 70s as well. Okay. Audience score, this actually is the highest of the entire series so far. 8% increase from the last movie at 91% audience score. Wow. So general audiences enjoyed this. Critics enjoyed it too, though. It has a good audience score, or critic score, but the audience score is very high.
I'm shocked. I'm totally shocked with the 91%. I'm totally shocked with 91%. The critics, I could totally see.
Yeah,
I could totally see. But 91, I'm really shocked.
It's high.
I'm ready to see what the hell the new Empire is, because I never seen that movie. So I really want to see what the audience think of that movie, because I already know what I think about the movie. So that's where we... I already know where I'm going to lean in that department. But in this one, I'm very shocked. Well, not really, because this is coming off of, you know, Godzilla King of the Monsters, right?
Which was kind of a Skull Island Island overall in the series.
It is. But if you really ask somebody which is a better movie, Kong Skull Island or Godzilla King of the Monsters, and I can literally say 90% of people will say Kong Skull Island was a better movie than Godzilla. A lot of people had a lot of problems with all the monsters coming out, and it was just so much mayhem going on on that one. But yeah, so anyway, with that said, all right, let's get right into it. So we're going to do the humans. Last time, we're going to do the human side score. Then we're going to do the monster, which is going to be Godzilla and Kong, because they're not villains.
No, which was a little weird because Godzilla is... Okay, so, all right. Let's start with the human. Let's start with the easy part. We'll start with the humans.
Yeah, do that.
I gave him a 3. There's a lot of them. Some of them are cool. Some of them, like, they brought back my boy Kyle Chandler from King of the Monsters. He's barely in it. He's just there walking around fields, like, looking for his daughter at the beginning and at the end. Like, he's not in it much. They brought back Millie Bobby Brown just for her to go on a side adventure with that kid from Deadpool 2. He's kind of funny in this movie, though. He does say he has some funny lines, that kid.
His name is Josh Valentine.
Yeah, he was funny. I liked him. He made me laugh. And then you have Brian Tyree Henry as the podcaster guy. I don't dislike him. Yeah, I don't dislike him. I think he's kind of funny, too. He's like, it's a conspiracy. I know they're covering stuff up. And I like him as an actor. But then you have like Kong people, the new ones, which is like Rebecca Hall and the little girl. Adorable little girl. She could talk to Kong with sign language because she's the last of the tribes from Skull Island. But then there's just too many characters. There's just a million of them. There's so many humans. And none of them, like, they have like Alexander Skarsgård pops up as this guy from Apex. There's Monarch, and now there's Apex. And there's the Mexican guy, Damian Bashir. And then there's the other girl, the hot girl that I love, Isa Gonzalez, as like his daughter. Mm. And then there's, and I'm like, okay, there's just too many characters in this movie. And overall, some I like, some I dislike. So I gave him a 3. Whatever. Monsters. Godzilla is, for the first part of the movie, is set up as the bad guy of the movie because he's the one going. Now there's a reason. As the movie goes on, you discover why, but he's just like destroying this facility in Florida. That was hilarious, by the way, that I forgot this has a part that takes place in Florida in the panhandle, destroying it. And he's blowing it away like, no, all these innocent people, they're dying. But it turns out that the facility is full of evil. You know, they're building something down there. Yeah, they're building something down there. So eventually it's turned out that he's not really bad. He's just doing what Godzilla does, defending. Kong has way more of a storyline than Godzilla does. Because Skull Island is now under a dome. It's becoming unstable. So they're trying to get him to go to the Hollow Earth, which we'll get into all that in storyline. But anyway, he has more of like an arc. He has no family members. He has no more tribe to protect on Skull Island, just a little girl, whatever, whatever. But they are both awesome. I actually do like them. The fighting scenes are between them. Great. I give the monsters a 5. I think the portrayal of them is accurate to them. So I didn't have a problem with them. The humans, whatever. So I guess a 4 combined, a 3 and a 5. Yeah, I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
So it's been a while since I've seen this movie. And I was just like, man, why is this so long that it took? And I remember why. I hated the humans. I did not like the podcast guy, Bernie Hayes.
Oh, okay.
I did not like him a lot. He was annoying. A very annoying character. Very annoying. Like in the beginning, okay, fine. But then it just started to get too much of it. Too much Bernie. And I was just like, oh, Lord. Molly Bobby Brown, I don't understand why the hell they had Madison Russell in this movie. Because she just was, the character didn't, it was not even a focal point in this movie. They just added her there because she was in the last movie.
Yeah.
Same thing with her father. Father was useless in this movie. He literally he must have recorded like 4 scenes.
Yeah, he's barely
at the end of the movie, the beginning of the movie, and then I think somewhere in the middle, Godzilla was destroying something and then he had to go and fly. He was trying to text. So he was there for like 3 or 4 scenes at most. He got paid for. Useless character. Did not need it to be there. I don't even know why they have him. I was just like, the Apex characters. Well, that's the villains, so I can't talk about that. But yeah, I mean, the Josh Valentine, that kid, he was okay. He was kind of funny. He reminded me of Deadpool character, which he was funny in that one too with powers.
Yeah.
Rebecca Hall, I like her. I think she's a great actress. And then the girl that does the sign language. Yeah. I thought she was great.
Yeah.
She was good. So I was just like, eh. But honestly, in terms of the humans, there was no, I guess that's under storyline, but in terms of the characters, like, like interacting or anything. It just wasn't for me. They didn't guide me through the movie well. I was just like, okay, you have a comedic now, you know, you have this girl, then you have that. And I really thought they were going to take Molly Bobby Brown and turn her into her mom. She learns about species and you know what I mean? They take the orca. What happened to the orca machine? What happened to that shit?
They remember what happened in the last movie and they blew it up.
Yeah, I guess. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought they were going to invent something new to help whatever. And then we didn't get none of that stuff. And I was just like, ah. So I didn't feel it much. I gave it 2. The monsters. I like the monsters. There's a lot in this movie, and I felt like the monsters were more of the story. Like, they guided me more than the humans, yeah. Which I didn't care for, but I did enjoy Khan more than Godzilla. And I guess because like I said before, Khan is more relatable because, again, apes have that human side of them in real life.
Right.
They feel kind of human. So this one, you got to see the expressions on his face. He sign languages for the first time, where you're like, holy crap. So he could communicate, 300 or 500 foot ape communicating with a little girl. And I enjoyed it. Then you got Godzilla, just pure mayhem. The dude is just an animal. He's just like, wait a minute, you know, I'm here just to protect, and that's pretty much it. But I do like him though. Like, again, my favorite scene of the two characters together is the ending where Khan is defeated. He's tired. He's sitting on top of a skyscraper, like back, and then Godzilla gets up and then he gets up like, oh, we're gonna do this again.
Yeah.
Like, come on, you really?
Job of him being like, oh, I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah, like they gave him that human thing, like, oh crap. Like they gave him, and it's weird, but it looked kind of eerie similar to when Apollo Creed fought Rocky in 1, when he got up and he was just like, oh crap, like this dude is not giving up. Yeah. Remember like that scene? Like that was a famous scene in that movie.
Yeah.
Where Apollo Creed just shakes his head like, this dude ain't giving up. That's what I felt like with Khan. Like he just was like, this dude Godzilla. Like literally, I just helped your ass. Like, so I liked it. I gave him a 5. So 2-5, rounded off. Maybe that's a 3?
It's a 2 and a 5 is a 7, 3.5.
Oh, so 3.5 out of a 5. Yep. So that's what I give it. Okay, so the main villains is the Apex.
And Mechagodzilla. And then Mechagodzilla score as like a creature, just because it's a big monster. Okay, human villains 2. Did not like them. Did not understand. Okay, from one perspective, you could almost make an argument that they're not really villains because they're trying to defend Earth.
Humanity.
Kind of. Yeah. But the problem is that in the universe that this movie has set up, we're trained to root for Godzilla. So it automatically makes them villains. Mm. Like if the thought process of these movies is Godzilla defends Earth from these other creatures, right? Like that's what they've set up with the Mutos, with the King of the Monsters, that's what he does. Now, many people die in the wake because he's huge and he can't help it. But so they're automatically cast as villains by developing Mechagodzilla, who they can use to fight all the kaijus. In that regard, it's like, are they really villains? Yes, in this story they are, but I gave him a 2. I don't care. There's like the Asian guy who's like the computer guy, puts on the helmet. They use the head of one of
Rin.
Yeah, they use the head of King Ghidorah, one of the heads, as like a conduit to, which was a cool idea because that was in the end credit scene of the last movie where they had the giant head. Mm. He's like, we'll take it. But Charles Dance never comes back. He's the one who got the head. Where's he? Why isn't he part of the Apex or whatever? It would have been cool to see him again. And then Damien Bashir is just a business guy, rich businessman. So I could have went with a 1. They have enough personality where I give him a 2. Mechagodzilla, I gave a 4. I gave him a 4. I do like the design. I think it's pretty cool. And I did watch I watched this roundtable interview with all 4 of the directors of these movies. Edwards, who did the first Godzilla, Michael Dougherty, who did King of the Monsters, and then Jordan Vogt Roberts, who did Skull Island, and then Adam Wingard, he did this one and the next one. And they were doing like a roundtable, and he was talking about the design of Mechagodzilla, how they wanted it to be like a little bit like a tank in that there's not like exposed gears, like everything kind of. And I was like, yeah, that kind of works. I do like it. The only reason I gave him a 4 is because, like, okay, sure, they had a little bit of help from the people and stuff, but ultimately Mechagodzilla doesn't work because it loses. In the first fight it ever has with giant monsters, they win. So like, what was the point really? Like, they built this big old thing. Yeah, it malfunctioned and some stuff, but it was full on. I mean, it was beating Godzilla's ass kind of before Kong came through with the axe. But even still, the fact of the matter is, it didn't serve its purpose. It didn't kill any big monsters. It lost. It does look cool though. So 4. So a 3 overall for the villains.
Okay. So humans, I gave it a 2. I agree with you on that front. They were not good. I mean, the villains were okay, but they were not throughout the whole movie. And when they do show them, I agree with you. I do understand their purpose of making this thing. But it was, to me, I felt like it was poorly executed because they were not in much scenes of the movie, where they should have shown more scenes of Apex, like talking to like Madison's father, going, you know, we have something that could combat, you know, Godzilla or whatever. And then they have an argument going, well, we have Godzilla, like we don't need nothing else. And then he goes, well, I'm going to show you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like something like that. We didn't get nothing like that. It was just one of those like, why is Godzilla going crazy, making him mad? So I was just like, I didn't connect with none of them. Even the daughter, which is Mila, whatever. She was just there just for eye candy. Because other than that, like, even at the end when she was just like, when they told her, you know, take the guns out. And I'm like, why would you do that when you already know Khan and this girl is connected? Like, you already know he's going to get mad. Like, he literally got mad. So, like, for me, I was just like, and the way she died was so stupid and anticlimactic. I was just like, oh, who cares? Like, I didn't even care for that character. And, okay, so I give it a 2. Monsters. Okay, so Mega God. Hi. So I like the character. I just don't like the way that they made it seem like mad secretive. Like, oh, you don't know it's a Mega Godzilla. I think they should have showed it in a scene of them building, maybe. So then you go, oh, wow. Like, remember when the beginning where the guy went into infantry and then Godzilla shot through and then you saw like some
he saw the ball
type of object
thing.
They should have at least maybe showed a part of him. So you go, oh, so they're making, you know, this is why Godzilla. Because honestly, even there, you watch the movie. But what I'm saying, when the first time you watch it, you see a big energy ball thing or eye or whatever. You're just like, what is this? Like, opens up questions. Like, if you put like a mechanical arm or head, then you go, oh, what are they building? Now you're going, what the hell are these dudes building that Godzilla's pissed? Then you start to go, okay, cool. Now you're invested in the movie. You go, oh, okay. What the hell are these humans doing that Godzilla did, wilding up my main Zilla? But at the end of I do like the fight a lot with Godzilla and Mega Godzilla. Yeah. I thought it was pretty. It reminded me of a Power Rangers episode.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, is that tail that's a drill?
Yeah. It's pretty, like, in Australia, I was telling my wife when we were watching, I was like, this is what Power Rangers should have been.
Yeah.
When they all turn into the robot and versus the whatever, I was like, this was actually a really better fight than that Power Rangers movie fight that we saw.
Agreed.
Where they all turn into the robot with the music and then they get their asses beat, which I was just like, Megazord. Yeah. I never forget that shit in the movie.
Yeah.
It goes, the Power Rangers music hit and you're like, whoa, this is it. And they turn into the Megazord and then the other monster beats the crap out of it. And I was just like, wow, really cool. Yeah. But anyway, I gave it a 4 also. So I agree with you. I gave it a 3 for main villain. I already know where you're going to go with this, but maybe not. What you going to give action?
I already know where I'm going to go with this. 5. Look, this has the most amount of destruction. Well, you know what?
No,
the last one did 2. The last one did 2, but this one does. Like, Hong Kong gets absolutely destroyed.
Mm.
I love one thing that Adam Wingard really nailed. I would say, to me, probably the best in the series, the scale, the epic scale of what if these two big things fought. You remember the first Godzilla movie? They fight. It's the Mutos. It's dark, nighttime. Yeah. There's a lot of cutaways. You know, we were a little annoyed with that. Then you have King of the Monsters, where, again, a lot of the fights happen in like weather. You can't see anything. You could see everything in this one. First, the fight on the boat. Love it. When Godzilla first comes out and they're standing on the boat, even the way, like, the big punch, like, it's all clear as day. I love that there's shots where it's like in an airplane and it's like, what would this person see if these two things were fighting? I think Adam Wingard nailed it. I love the fight on the boat. Part you mentioned was funny, where he's in the ocean and he just looks at him pissed off. I mean, he could have been kicking his legs, but maybe he was scared. I don't know. Like, I like to think he was treading water. Like, what does it look like down there when Godzilla's swimming? I don't know. But anyway, it was a good shot, though. He's like,
no, it was a great shot.
I'm really mad about this. Then you have the second fight in Hong Kong. Amazing. It's an amazing scene. It really is. Like, for a big monster movie fight, it's fantastic. You get just buildings getting destroyed. Kong loses. A lot of people want to make excuses and say, no, but he did say, yes, he did. But they're two separate fights. He loses to Godzilla. Godzilla ends with him pinned. If it was WWE, he pinned him. He has foot on his chest. 1, 2, 3. He lets him up. He doesn't kill him. And then thank God he doesn't, because then Mechagodzilla was whooping Godzilla and Kong comes back with the axe. And he says, I got you, dog. And he absolutely, I love what he just freaking chops up Mechagodzilla. It's sick. So 5. I loved it. Just those two scenes alone, 5.
Yeah, I gave it a 5 too. I think the action, once you have them in the ocean, to me, that's when the movie picked up.
Yes.
I like that scene a lot, the scene in the ocean. Like, you got to let this dude out. I loved it when Rebecca Hall was telling him, like, you got to let him out. This dude has to defend, you got to defend himself. And the guy was like, we'll talk about his storyline, because I hate the scientist guy, whatever his name is.
Alexander Skarsgård, the character?
Yeah, we got to talk about that guy, because there's some shit that irked me when, anyway. You know, he doesn't do nothing. He just stays and lets him locked in. But anyway, the design of that fight was really cool. Liked it a lot. And I do agree with you. Him standing in the middle of the ocean. I don't know how this works, because I don't know if he has like a buoy that his ass just...
Yeah, maybe he just floats because of his top.
Maybe he floats and he just looks cool. But I do agree with you, because he just stood up and I was just like, how does that work when you have tiny legs? But
maybe his tail is underneath, like keeping
like
him
a
up.
Big whoosh.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe, because I do love the scale. I do agree with you. The scale here in this film was really cool. I liked it from the cockpit. I agree with you there. And there was another one also that I did it like, that we saw it when Khan was jumping through buildings. I thought that was really creative. Mm-hmm. When he shot the atomic breath. And he's jumping building to building and he's ducking and rolling. I mean, I felt so bad for all the people that died in Tokyo because I'm like, there's no way they could evacuate, because I was like, that's crazy. But I thought that was pretty cool. I even liked when he took the axe and he embedded it into the building. He went boom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, leave it right there. I'm going to do my stuff. I thought that was really cool too. There's a lot of unique fights here, and he utilized the CGI very well in this movie.
Yes.
That I thought it was really cool. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people are like, oh, I like the practical Godzilla, whatever, in suits. I think it could work, but I don't think it worked in this scale, because the destruction is just, I think you need
There's
to help.
No,
I think
if they made a movie now with a guy in a gorilla suit and a Godzilla suit and try to make it, there's no, it has to be CGI. Unfortunately, it has to be.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you never know. I don't know.
I know.
I'm just saying, they made Caesar look pretty cool. So I don't know.
Yeah, but that was mocap.
You can mocap a Khan, and you can mocap Godzilla fighting. So, I mean, you could do it in a way that way instead of CGI.
There is.
So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just saying is I would have been like, okay, great. But I think what this guy did, you have to have a director that knows what he has and knows the limits that he could push. Yeah. And I think this dude did it a lot better than I give credit to. Because when I rewatched this movie, I was just like, wait, this is really good. Like, the emotions of both characters, even when they're hurt. Godzilla getting his ass beat. So let's look at it this way, right? Godzilla does never show emotion at all from his face, his little T-Rex arms. Like, you don't see no emotion.
Yeah.
But when Mechagodzilla was whooping his ass, you felt it. You were like, oh my God, this dude is getting his ass taken. Like, he took his face and mashed it into buildings, and Godzilla's like, little arms, and he's falling. And I was like, damn. Then you see it on the other side, Khan's reaction when he's fighting, he's getting angry, he's screaming. Then he starts to get his ass beat, his heart slows down, and they had to use that stupid plane to bring him back. And then when he gets back up, the little girl tells him that he's not the enemy, you gotta join forces. And he's just like, all right, cool. Grabs his thing, and then they just fight. To me, is so much credit to that, because you could have just had a flat emotional Godzilla, a flat emotional Khan, like King Kong from Peter Jackson. That CGI was so horrible. Certain scenes, you couldn't get much out of it, but technology got so much better. Mm. I liked it. I thought it was great. And yeah, the action in this one is far superior than behind what we saw behind. The other
and
movie.
We gave those high scores too, but this was better still.
No, this was way better. Way better. And that's why I was shocked with the money. Because I think what we got here, this should have been a $600 to $700 million budget movie. I mean, in terms of worldwide success. Yeah. But I was shocked that it was 4.7. But anyway, it is what it is. Okay, 5 for me, 5 for you. Storyline.
Okay, I won't spend a ton of time here. Honestly, I gave it a 3. At this point, these movies, in that little interview I watched, and it's 100% true, the only movie, well, kind of Skull Island a bit as well, but the first Godzilla is the only one that was based in any sort of reality, or took a reality approach. Where it's like, what if this big monster showed up? From King of the Monsters on, and the director made this clear, like, they went more fantasy. Big facilities. Yeah. And we mentioned that without even me seeing that, because I watched this last night after watching the movies. We had mentioned it, like, man, when the heck did Marner get all these facilities in all these areas. He's like, you know what? It was just the approach we took. And then now the next director, Wingard, he was able to build on that. He's like, well, the last guy built facilities. Now we can really just, because they left reality, which I'm fine with. I don't need reality in my movie about freaking 800 foot monsters fighting each other. So it's okay. But anyway, the storylines, they do get worse and dumber. I should say dumber. They get stupider. So this one, because then they introduced the Hollow Earth, which was mentioned in Kong Skull Island, the black guy, remember?
Yeah.
He's like, the Hollow Earth theory, but they don't really go into it. This movie, they literally go into it. They go in like a portal and they go to the Hollow Earth and all that stuff. Cool concept, but I don't like the explanation of it that much. I still don't really get how it works. Also, how's there sunlight down there if it's in the middle of the earth? Like, how is there light? It should be pitch dark, but somehow there's light. Anyway, it's a little dumb. There's too many characters doing too many separate things. I don't think it's terrible, but I think it's on the trend. So I gave it a 3. I think this is like not a great storyline at all, but it does the job. So I gave it a 3.
All right. So you're really nice on this one. you're really nice. And honestly, if it wasn't for the fights, I would not like this movie at all. I gave this a classic 2.
Ooh, okay.
It's a decent film. Yeah. And this is why. Okay. I agree with you 1,000%. That Hollow Earth explanation, like, it's a portal. Yeah. Like, think about that shit. It's a portal into another another Earth dimension.
In the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. In the middle of the Earth, you're telling me there's a portal that goes right into a middle Earth that has now a forest, a jungle, that has now all these creatures and Khan was once whatever. And I'm just like, what? Like, okay, fine. It is what it is. Because, you know, they did the same shit with Meg, right? They go through the Mariana Trench and then there. So I'm like, it is what it is. Fine. They took it. They made it fantasy. I'm okay with it. It is what it is. My problem with this movie is the main character, Nathan Lin, or whatever his name is. First of all, this guy is a scientist professor or some shit. And the guy goes, I need you to go to the Hollow Earth to get me some energy source. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what? Like, whatever. First of all, the guy goes, are you here to get a book sign? And I'm just like, dude, this is, first of all, a stupid character.
Yeah.
Then from there, my man knows how to pilot a futuristic machine, knows how to turn it into a defibrillator, all in the span of one day. Because other than that, he never knew about flying. He didn't know nothing about this machine. He became an action guy. He was just like, we need you to Hollow Earth, but the scientist now turns action. And I was just like, no fucking way. Like, these characters, you hit the pin on the head, dude. These movies got worse the minute Garth Edwards' storyline dropped. The minute they went fantasy, they did not know what to do with characters. They did not know what the hell they were doing. I don't mind Skull Island because to me, Skull Island was the turning point of the characters and the movie becoming futuristic. The minute they introduced Khan, I felt like they went bonkers. They were like, all right, we're going to now have these two fight, but we're going to figure something out. Because to me, the technology gets way advanced in the next movie. Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
Crazy.
But yeah, it's really ridiculous. But in this one, I was okay with it because this is a industry, you want to say, like, this is a underground government, you know, whatever. They have the funds. Fine. I'm okay with it. It is what it is. But you can't tell me you take a Joe Smo from freaking, I don't know, Connecticut University, take him to a Hollow Earth, and all of a sudden, my man knows how to fly the damn thing. He knows how to bring Khan back to life. And then, I don't know, like, that's the thing I was telling you. Like, there was no leading character in this movie for you to care about. Molly Bobby Brown could have, but they did not utilize her at all in this movie at all.
I forgot she was in this.
Exactly.
I forgot.
Exactly. She looks 10 times older than she did in King of the Monsters. And the father's useless. My man Lance Reddick, rest in peace, in this movie for what?
I don't even remember him being in it. That's how little he's in it.
Honestly, like, at the end of everything, this story is so bland. It's like, it's just, oh man, I don't know what to say. It's like a bread with mold on it. You're just like, why?
No, it's
it
like
could be good if you
sandwich.
Take out the mold.
No mayo, no mustard, just bread.
Yes,
and cheese.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly
Imagine
what
you need
this
a bread
movie is.
And a dry bread and cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Mad dry that you just need water to part dry. It's just nasty. So anyway, I gave it a 2.
Okay.
Okay. Overall.
Overall. So I gave it a 3.5. Oh. I gave it a 3.5. This is not my favorite of this franchise. I do think it's good, and I think it's fun. See, this movie is very entertaining. I was never bored while I was watching it. I don't like the story, and there's a lot of story. I didn't remember that there was this much non-monster parts. I was like, dang, there's a lot of parts with these people that I don't like that much or that I don't care about. And the story about the Hollow Earth and figuring all that out. But the thing is, it's also mixed with some great spectacle. Great monster fights, great action. I even like the part where Kong is like, where he sits in the throne in the Hollow Earth. Great shot.
Oh, that was cool.
And he puts the axe in the floor and it makes the radiation thing that looks like Godzilla. And I liked all that. Obviously, that was Godzilla's old throne. It had to be because he's on the floor. And as they go into the story, even in the next movie, you know, like, it was probably his, but whatever. Now Kong sits there. Okay. So, but I still gave it a 3.5. Like, a 7 out of 10 feels fine and feels correct to me because there's things I don't like that much, but I still overall had a good time with it. So 3.5.
Well, I gave it a 3. I thought it was good because it felt like a big blockbuster summer movie. Yes. Now, if you're going to go into this thing going, hey, I want to see the best movie with story, you're not getting that shit with this one, because I totally agree with you. This is not good in terms of that department, but in the other department, I was not bored at all. If there was a condensed version where you cut all the humans out and it's just like 30, Godzilla, like a
40-minute cut of this.
A 40-minute cut, yeah, of just straight fights, yeah. I think it would have been an awesome movie. I like it for that. Again, I could watch this movie again as a watchable crap. Mm-hmm. I could throw this under watchable crap for me. I love the ocean scene. To me, this is one of the best scenes, I think, in the entire series. I think the ocean scene is a really good setup with the music kicking up. I liked it. I thought that was really cool. So, I give it a 3. Okay, your total points.
By the way, good looking, not good, great looking 4K disc. Both of these new ones look, all of them did look good, but the CGI in this, it's crazy. That's why it's crazy to me that it was a 135 budget. And the CGI looks better than stuff I go see right now at the theater, honestly. So, yeah. Even like, look at the Flash compared to this. Like, this came out years before. I like the Flash. This is not a bashing. I'm just saying, the CGI is bad. And this CGI looks amazing and it costs less. So, I don't know. Overall, our total points, 18.5 out of a 25.
I gave it a 16.5.
That seems, to me, reasonable. I could see people, This is a stupid movie. It's a stupid movie, but it's fun to watch. So, I totally get it.
Yeah, I give it a 16.5. Again, the flaws were the humans. Yeah. And I had the same problems in King of the Monsters, and I enjoyed the King of Monsters fights. Yeah. Like, it just keeps getting worse. And again, can't wait to sit down and talk about the new Empire, because I want to see how that goes. But that was my first time watch, so it's going to get fun. But yeah, I gave it a 16.5. You gave it a straight 18.5. And it's funny because it's below the 20. Yeah. And if you notice, out of all the ones that we did, I don't think we had one movie that cracked 20. Between me and you.
I think...
let me look at my past notes.
Skull Island, I feel like I gave the first two, maybe not. I think I gave Godzilla at least a 20, though, the first one.
Skull Island for me is a 21.5.
Yeah, I think I was over 20 on that as well.
And you know what? That's the only one that I gave a 21.
I think I gave the first two 20, and then the last two not.
I gave a 19 to 2014 Godzilla.
Oh, okay.
And this is how I know my taste in movies is, I know how I am, because I like the action more than the humans. Yeah. I gave King of the Monsters a 16.5, and that's the same score I gave this one.
Oh, so equal. Okay.
Yeah. So to me, and those are decent movies. Like, I could watch King of the Monsters because I do enjoy that for what it is, just as this one. So it tells me those are watchable crap. I could throw those in the watchable crap pile. Now, not Godzilla 98 is the one that we did not like at all.
I gave that like a 9.
You gave it to the bookstore.
I do not like that movie.
Yeah, that movie's horrible. When people sit down and talk to me about it, and they're like, you gotta be crazy. No, I'm not, bro. I'm 42 years old. I rewatched it and it does not hold up.
It's like, not good. It's actually
bad. That's like you telling me Supergirl is good after I went through that crap.
You should tell them, there's watching. A difference between something being good and you liking it. It ain't good, but you still like it.
Yeah, but you know, there's bad movies that you enjoy, people don't like. Fine. But there's bad movies that you enjoy because you like, whether it's the nostalgia or you like the, I don't know, it gives you a guilty pleasure of it.
Some people like
that's
it.
That's fine. Just for its badness. Totally fine.
Yeah.
Godzilla 98 doesn't give me none of those. No, that's just straight crap. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just there. But anyway, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Okay, so we will be doing a little bit something different because we are doing a series and Monster Month. we're just going to wrap up this franchise with a little bit of Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. A first time watch for you. I saw this 3 months ago in the theater and I reviewed it. Mm-hmm. So we do have a review, but we'll go more in depth with this review, obviously, for the podcast. And then we begin a new series or a new franchise. We'll be doing the Star Wars sequel trilogies. So we're going to be doing... Mm-hmm. Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and what's that last? Rise of Skywalker. So Force Awakens will be next week. I have not seen that in a long time. So, and we will have a guest for The Last Jedi who's very excited to talk about it. Because I don't know if they like it or hate it, but I know they're excited to talk about it. Okay. That's going to be one that's going to be divisive. I think that show, we're going to have some differing opinions on a lot of things. So I'm excited about it. So yeah, that's what we got coming up. Godzilla, X Kong, The New Empire, and then Star Wars episode, whatever, 7, The Force Awakens.
I will say this, and I'll say this now so people are warned. Those podcasts will be a little bit longer. I'm just going to say that. I mean, because once you go into the Star Wars realm and people start to get angry and stuff, I mean, we're going to record as much as we could and then I'll condense as much as I can. But it's going to be a little lengthier than it normally is on this show. So just to forewarn for everybody. But anyway, other than that, if you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything AMG podcast, you guys can follow us on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. And of course, you guys can follow our new YouTube channel, which is Action Movie Guys. You guys can listen to the Action Movie Guys podcast archive there. Nice for you guys. Every time I put up a new episode, it goes right to our YouTube channel. You guys can take us on the go with YouTube Music, plus Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, anywhere you listen to your podcast on. I'm your host, Az Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.